to order. The must be the 12th of April, and it's 9 a.m. Present, we have Senators Geisel, Willikowski, Coghill, and myself, Chair Dyson. We have one order of business this morning. It is House Bill 383, Gasline Development Corporation Membership by the House Rules Committee. It's our intention to pass this bill out this morning. And everybody turn off your cell phones, and we'll begin. Who's going to make the presentation on this? Speaker Chenault, please introduce yourself. Mr. Wright, for the record, proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, I'm Representative Chenault from the Kenai Peninsula. Mr. Chairman, before you today, you have House Bill 383, sponsored by the House Rules at my request. And it amends AGDC statute in order to allow for out-of-state board appointments. AGDC statute should be amended to fix a technical oversight and reflect the intent of the legislature. That desire, which was clear in testimony last year, is that the governor should have the ultimate discretion in appointing the most qualified people to lead AGDC in carrying out its mission to develop projects that get gas to Alaskans. Framers of the Constitution of the State of Alaska during Constitutional Convention amended Section 26 to replace the state residency requirement with the U.S. citizen requirement. Delegate Hallenthal at the time said, "I have faith in the executive. I have faith in the legislative. I'm sure that they will pick qualified men. It might be that the qualified men should be men of residence elsewhere and recent arrivals, or they may even be sought out elsewhere. I would be worried if such a restricted provision limiting board appointments to residents of Alaska were included in the Constitution." That happened during the Alaska Constitutional Convention proceedings, and it's actually at page 2239. Delegate McNeese said that an executive should not be limited in reaching out and picking the best available man, irrespective as to where that may be. AGDC's board includes two commissioners. The governor appoints five public members by statute, and the governor is encouraged to appoint people who bring specific qualifications, expertise in pipeline construction, large project management, and so on. By statute, AGDC's mission requires the board and the corporation to act in Alaskans' best interest. And the board is all Alaskan except for one appointee. Back during House Bill 4, it was a complex piece of legislation, as you all well know. It's 59 pages long, and as is often the case in this process, we don't always get it right the first time. HB 4 specifically lays out a structure for AGDC as a corporation, defining what the legislature wanted as far as board appointments, items generally addressed in 39.05, existing statute related to public officers and employees. 39.05-100 requires board appointees to be Alaskans unless otherwise specified. HB 4 laid out the board requirements without specifically stating whether the members had to be Alaskan or not. Legal guidance at the time plus testimony was that the language in House Bill 4 allowed out-of-state and Alaskans to serve. And what we neglected to do at the time, Mr. Chairman, was an oversight. It was to specifically exempt AGDC from 39.05.100. And Mr. Chairman, basically, that is what the bill before you does, and we'll open and ready for any questions that the committee members may have. Thank you.
Thank you, and for the record, we're served, as usual, ably by Joshua Banks, who's been committee aide and a delight in my office. We have standing by for questions, Dan Foskey, the AGDC president, and Miles Baker, the director, and so, questions or comments from the committee? Senator Willikowski.
Yeah, thank you. Does this even, just looking at 39.05.100, Does this even fall within that, do you know? Have you talked to legal about that? Because this talks about boards or commissions. This is a corporation.
Through the chair, Tom Wright, staff to Speaker Chenault. Yes, it does.
And another question, if I could, Mr. Chair.
Continue.
Does this require legislative confirmation? Do you know? Have you got any opinion on that? This position itself, or can the governor just appoint?
Mr. Chairman, this still would require legislative confirmation.
Continue.
Right, but I mean, under existing law, does this? Because I've heard others say the governor could have just put whoever he wants on there without legislative approval. Does that? Disagree with that,
Mr. Chairman? I don't believe that is that he can. He has to have confirmation. 31.25.020. Public members of the board shall be appointed by the governor and are subject to confirmation by the legislature.
31.25.020. Okay, thank you.
Yeah, that's in section one. As I read it. Further questions, comments? I have John Burns is in Fairbanks, and at least my record show he wants to testify. John, can you hear us?
Yes, I can. Can you hear me?
Got you loud and clear. Please identify yourself and give us your testimony.
Yes. Good morning, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. My name is John Burns, and I have the privilege of serving as chairman of the Alaska Gas Line Development Corporation. I speak in favor of the proposed House Bill 383, the effect of which will, as you heard moments ago, will not only correct the inadvertent oversight in House Bill 4 as previously passed, but will additionally ensure that the composition of AGDC's board is best suited to achieve the mission and responsibility which this legislature and the administration conferred on AGDC when you passed House Bill 4 in the first place. As noted in my testimony on April 3rd before the House Rules Committee, AGDC is Alaska's gas line company. AGDC is the product of House Bill 4, which, in my opinion, represented one of the most comprehensive enabling legislations passed in many years. And I've had the privilege of talking to several of you in the past year regarding House Bill 4. House Bill 4 embodied the hopes and expectations of Alaskans and the commitment of this legislature and this administration that Alaska's gas is finally developed and made available to Alaskans. The responsibility to achieve that objective was conferred by you on AGDC, and I can assure you that as AGDC's board and staff, we are committed to delivering on our responsibility. Senate Bill 138, as is currently being debated by this legislature, if passed, will add to AGDC's responsibility, and in my mind, rightly so, because it is imperative that any gas project in which this state participates must be thoroughly evaluated and analyzed. It will now be AGDC's role, in conjunction with other state agencies, to evaluate and ultimately recommend to the legislature and to the administration which of the two gas projects to sanction and invest in. The ability to ensure that AGC can achieve our mission and deliver on our responsibilities is critically dependent on the composition of a board that not only has a passion for the mission that lies before us, but the complementary skill set to achieve that mission. An effective board must not only have a strategic perspective, but also the experience and the expertise to formulate and implement that strategy. A good board acts as a team, drawing on one another's experience, perspectives, and skill set. The composition of a board is particularly significant when the subject matter involves an industry such as the gas industry, which is a highly technical and specialized industry and one that's financially expensive to participate in. Alaska deserves to ensure that those appointed to the AGC board have the requisite skill set to accomplish the mission which you have asked us. And you enabled AGDC through House Bill 4. Now we ask that you empower us by the passage of House Bill 383 to achieve the mission that is common to all Alaskans, the development and construction of a gas line. House Bill 383, which is before you, is not a shot in the dark. You are not being asked to pass a bill blindly, wondering who the governor plans on appointing. You know who the individual is, his breadth of experience and expertise, and the work that he has already done on behalf of AGDC in the 6 months since his appointment. Dick Rabineau exemplifies why this bill makes sense and why passage of the bill is in the state's best interest as the owner of AGDC. I share in the comments and observations previously made by Speaker Chenault and by many others in the legislature over the past several weeks in recognizing Dick Rabineau's 4 decades of pipeline experience, his expertise in large project development, implementation, and management. And from a personal perspective, I can attest to Mr. Rabineau's integrity as a board member, his commitment to AGDC's mission and its objectives, to his preparation, and to his active participation during board meetings as well as during subcommittee meetings. Mr. Rabineau provides an owner's perspective and insight about pipeline construction, operation, management, and financing that is invaluable in assisting AGDC as we negotiate with potential pipeline builders and operators, and as we negotiate with gas producers and purchasers. Over the last couple of weeks, there are 2 questions that seem to be regularly posed by those who are hesitant about this bill. The first is loyalty, and the second is the question of why we shouldn't simply hire outsiders as consultants as opposed to having them serve on a state board. With respect to the issue of loyalty, Mr. Rabineau, like every other AGDC board member, took an oath of office and we signed a confidentiality agreement. We ride for only one brand, and that brand is the state of Alaska. Our loyalty is to the state, and our fiduciary responsibility is to AGDC. There are no exceptions. With respect to the comment of simply hiring Mr. Rabineau as a consultant, although certainly I can assure you that that would be a lot more lucrative to Mr. Rabineau from a financial perspective, why should you ask us to pay thousands for Mr. Rabineau's expertise, experience, and wisdom when he has so generously offered it to us for literally nothing? The focus of appointments to the AGDC board should be on one's ability rather than on one's residency. House Bill 383 is in the best interest of the state, and I would urge its passage. In the final analysis, it is the legislature, through the confirmation process, who ultimately decides who serves on the AGDC board. I would ask that you let that process proceed forward, that you pass House Bill 383 and let the confirmation process proceed. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Well said. Other questions for John? All right. Seeing none. And by the way, I neglected to thank Sean for being here bright and early, and Carrie for
my pleasure.
I'm sorry. Thank you, and Carrie for being recording records for us. And if we don't meet again when you two are here, we really appreciated your work. Part of what makes you look so competent is there's never problems, and your work is transparent but professional. Comments, questions on the board? Committee? Mm-hmm. Senator Coghill.
Thank you. A couple of questions for the Speaker. I see the applicability, you want to go retroactive to September 1. My guess is that's when the appointment of Mr. Rabineau, is that what the deal is there?
Mr. Chairman, the Tom Wright again, staff to Speaker Chenault, the appointment was made on September 13th.
Okay.
The appointments.
Right. So it's just this is a recognition that you wanted to pick that up. And then the expectation under HB4 was that appointment was a legitimate appointment. but come to find out later on that that wasn't the case. Is that the reason we're moving forward like this?
Yes, Mr. Mayor, Representative Coghill, through the chair, that's correct.
Okay, yeah. And I think how many times do we find out we run into a statutory issue and want to go on and fix it, so I appreciate you bringing this forward. So retroactivity is something that I always struggle with, Mr. Chairman, and I think under this circumstance, I can see the reason why.
And Representative Coghill, through the chair, I think that's correct. You know, what we want to see is a confirmation process go forward.
As I understood both from the documents and your testimony, that this is consistent with what you understand the intent was.
Mr. Chairman, Tom Wright again, and we have Rena Delbridge, who was probably more involved in House Bill 4 than any other person in this state. You know, if you need her to explain, she could explain, you know, what the intent was. But the intent was, yes, to allow some, you know, the best and brightest to serve no matter where they resided, just as long as they were U.S. citizens.
Senator Geisel.
And following along on that, Mr. Wright, I notice that, first of all, we have boards and commissions that are not confirmed by the legislature. There's not a lot of them, but there are a few. And I note in this bill, you do leave the subject to confirmation by the legislature, in the first sentence there in sub B. Mm-hmm. Was that intentional? I mean, it seems as if, while I agree with Mr. Burns that experience and expertise should be the guiding principle here, this still leaves a political process, so to speak, in place. You must have chosen to leave it for a reason.
Well, Mr. Chairman, again, you know, Ms. Delbridge is more can speak to this better than I. But yes, that was the intent.
Other questions or comments? I just say, without it probably being very important, that in our state we have a citizen legislature. We expect most of our boards to be citizens, and. In a small state like this, where are you going to find the expertise we require without some or all of us appearing to have, you know, some conflicting loyalties? And it is, I think, very short-sighted to think that someone who has been employed in years past or associated in any particular part of our economy or society can't be objective in making their decisions is
And Mr. Chairman, the board was very fortunate. They have two individuals on there who have an understanding of pipelines. You have Mr. Belay and you have Mr. Rabinow. Mr. Rabinow is more of a universal, you know, has more of a universal type viewpoint. But Mr. Belay is also very competent. So the board was very fortunate to have those two individuals on there, along with the other members. I'm not downplaying their part, but those two in particular.
Yeah, and I appreciate that. And but we also desperately need the expertise and the experience. And all of us have worked in many fields in the state, and we bring that experience to the table that helps us do our job and it informs it. And I've watched over the years that the administration has struggled to get qualified people because they couldn't pay them enough. And we have several people in by and large the administrative making several hundred thousand dollars a year, and we need to pay that in order for them not have a huge penalty for the public service.
Well, the other thing too, Mr. Chairman, if I might, is, you know, we have a large number of consultants that we've had in the past and still currently use who are not residents. Some are not U.S. citizens, but we still rely on their expertise to help guide us through this process.
And we desperately need it. And I appreciate that. Any further discussion or questions from the committee? Chair, I'll entertain a motion.
Thank you, Mr. President, or Mr. Chairman. I move the CS for House Bill number 383 rules, version 28, LS1656/uniform, from this committee with individual recommendations and attached zero fiscal note.
The objections?
Yeah.
Senator Wilikowski objects. Please call the roll.
Senator Geisel.
Yes.
Senator Coghill.
Yes.
Senator Stedman. Senator Willikowski.
No.
Chair Dyson.
Yes.
Three yeas, one nay.
Thank you. So House Bill 383 passes the committee with individual recommendations, attached fiscal notes, and we're adjourned.